This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
It's Capricorn FM, Limpopo's Higher Frequency. You are listening to Capricorn Drive, and we have our midweek chat. We're going to reflect back to one of the drive challenge moments we had on the show. So we had an influx of messages from people experiencing racism at work because this sparked a significant discussion given the volume of the seriousness of the engagement. We should bring this conversation again, and this time around also find people that can give us light on how to approach these situations. And we are not talking racism in the country. We are talking racism in the province, because we received a voice note from a friend of the show who was letting us know of their work conditions, and the situation is very bad. Let's just quickly recap.
Anonymous, and even I'm trying to change my voice or get recognized. My concern is my previous boss, where I was working. My previous boss was a racist. Actually, he is still a racist. Imagine Mona Molimpopo, whites have their own toilets and kitchen, where blacks, they have their own toilet and their own kitchen. It was a horrible, horrible experience, whereby as long as you are black, you are always wrong, blamed, and promised to be replaced at every given time. No provident fund, no benefits, nothing. You just work and go. But whites, they have benefits, they have medical aids, they have provident fund. They also get their company cars to home. But blacks, if you are driving, when you come back, you park their car, and that is taken by someone of a white guy. Even though some, they are not whites, they are pink because of the situation, because by a go-wisher now. If a white person is, it's his birthday today, they close the door, buy the cake, and eat, sing for the person and everything. And after that, after they ate, if they didn't finish the cake, that's when they give it to the cleaning ladies to say, go in and shed amongst them.
Such a terrible experience. So that's pretty much how the conversation went like. And we also received other messages that we are going to play throughout the show.
One of them says, hey team, it's true. I have been experiencing that kind of behavior from my old boss. His nephew once broke a client's stove, and it was the day I got fired and didn't even get my long service money. Ki Anonymous from somewhere in Tzaneen.
I'm sure the South African human rights is very busy, but unfortunately some people sit on these issues. They don't report them anywhere.
Yeah.
And even when you look deeper into the findings that are there, I mean, it's known that 66% of top management positions in the country are held by white people.
Of course.
Despite the fact that they are a drop in the ocean
in
this country. 37% unemployment rate, black people in the country. I wonder what the F.W. de Klerk Foundation says about this, because they are very much aware and they were part of that report that noted these findings.
Yeah.
Amongst many other things. So that is the discussion.
Freedom Day is not so free. We were just celebrating
definitely.
On a Monday. You know what I mean? These are the realities that people are going through in the workspace. For me, I keep saying it, it's 2026 and we are still experiencing something like this. And I think a lot of workers or employees, they are not aware that they can actually report to the South African Human Rights Commission themselves. You can write and complain to the commission and tell them what's happening.
We'll ask them later on if you can do that anonymously, because I can imagine
fear. You can.
To be victimized. And you know, from time to time, maybe there will be a snitch amongst you guys that goes to tell the big bosses that this is the one who would have likely taken out this information. So, we don't want to speak about these issues. So, do you get involved?
Oh, yes. I do. I actually got involved on a certain issue back home. I did call the South African Human Rights Commission anonymously, because they did say you can speak to us anonymously and then we will do the investigations and actually go there and investigate ourselves.
Okay.
So I have done it and it's a proud thing to do.
We can't just leave it lying down, because there is clearly a lot of people that are going through the same experiences as Anonymous. It's Capricorn FM, Limpopo's Higher Frequency. You are listening to Capricorn Drive. We continue checking out your messages.
Hi, guys. I'm also working for one of the biggest company here in South Africa. And the company is really growing, like it is growing big. So they're also treating us the same way. Our pension fund. And then medical aid. So it's like ki favorism. But mostly the white people are being treated like very good. Like standards are white people, it's very high than Sarina Mara. Like Arena black people, Kerna Barbera Gang, we But at the end of the day, then rena, we don't, we're not being treated well.
Afternoon team, what Anon said is true. I work with different nations, different areas. For a black man, it's still tough there. Although we still celebrate freedom, but if you are poor, there's no freedom. As long as you're still working for other nations and you are black, it's tough. It's very, very tough. Let me remain unknown for today. Thank you.
And we have invited the Human Rights Commission, Professor Tshepo Madlingozi, who is the Commissioner of the South African Human Rights Commission, joining us on the line right now. Prof, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Sikhali Zimkhonto, Onozala Khatebe, Amachawa Sengobo. How are you doing?
I'm good, Complexion, and good afternoon to your listeners. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for making time to join us. Prof, have we redefined racism in recent years, or it is what we know it to be? And if we could just recap on that.
Ooh, you're asking a very difficult question. Yes, post-1994, there has been some redefinition of racism, for better and for worse. For worse in the sense that even perpetrators of racism are now invoking the language of racism to avoid accountability. Even people who are opposed to affirmative action and other redress mechanisms are redefining racism to suit them. So there is that issue that we should be careful of, where the language of anti-racism is invoked by those who benefit from racism and historical advantage. Mm. But in terms of our jurisprudence, in terms of our law, racism is very clear. It is defined negatively, meaning that you are prohibited from discriminating anyone on the basis of race.
And, you know, we also noted very shocking findings in the reports by the F.W. de Klerk Foundation, as well as Stats SA, amongst many other reports that have been tabled before, which is a clear indication that you've got a lot on your hands as the Human Rights Commission. So what does the process look like that you follow as the SA Human Rights Commission once a complaint is, you know, submitted to you from investigation to resolution?
Yes. What we do is that we will want to hear all the facts, you know, and really linking two things. One, discrimination on the ground of race, not on the grounds of gender, on the grounds of nationality, on the grounds of sexuality. It must be on the ground of race. Of course, there is what you call intersectional harm, where you are discriminated because you are both a lesbian and a black person. Yeah. What we do is that, therefore, we will receive the complaint and will investigate. And when we investigate, we are guided by the Constitution, Section 9(4), which prohibits racism. We are guided by Section 7 of the Promotion of Equality and the Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act, PEPUDA, so-called PEPUDA, which is very clear in giving us instances of racism. One, it could be a slur, a hate speech that is propagated. It could be a propagation of a propaganda of racial superiority or inferiority. Mm. It could be what we call animalization, comparing people to animals, or it could be the denial of services. We are in the process of publishing a report now on load reduction carried out by ESCOM and certain municipalities, and their allegation is that ESCOM is engaged in indirect structural racism.
Yeah.
In the fact that load reduction only happens in black townships and rural areas. So what I'm saying is that racism can also be institutionalized, can also be structural. So we're not just interested in interpersonal instances of racism. In South Africa, I will argue that we should be even more interested in cases of institutionalized racism. Mm. So once we've made a finding, we will then make a recommendations. Normally, we recommend four measures. One, an apology, where there has been a podcast or a post that was racist, an apology on the same platform. Number two, a commitment not to do the same thing once again. And then three, community service. And then four, a sensitivity training. Because some people say, but I didn't know when I used the word see in relation to Indian people. You know the word see?
Yes.
And you know people use it in my township or in my language you say M-A-K, you know, that way to describe Indian people.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that it was racist. So sensitivity training helps in conscientizing people. But sometimes when it's a very egregious instance of racism, then we want to hit people in the pocket by recommending a fine, a monetary fine.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you should say that because recently I was sharing with my team that I was very disappointed in one of the political leaders in the province who had assembled community members and was delivering a speech there. And in reference to spaza shops, he used that name, that derogatory name refers to Indian people and said, if you find any information of this nature about these individuals using that name that starts with a C but in Venek, I found that to be completely off. And I think also with what you have just said, as far as institutional racism is concerned, Answers Anonymous, who had sent us a message, you know, highlighting to us that at their workplace, they have even separated the bathrooms. There are toilets for white people, there are toilets for black people here in the province of Limpopo. So if they get in touch with you, what does the process look like? How do they get in touch with the Human Rights Commission? And also, can we report anonymously because we fear, you know, of being victimized in the workplace?
Yes, so we've got offices in all 9 provinces. We've got an office there in Limpopo, next to the High Court on the main street. 2, people can get in touch with us via our website, shrc.org.za. If you go to our website, you can submit a complaint form, which is very simplified complaint form, which helps you lay out your story or your grievance. 3, on our website, you will see there are also WhatsApp details where you can submit a complaint via WhatsApp to our provinces or nationally. So it's made it very easy and accessible for people to access us in that way. So people can get in touch in those ways.
Khawela Sengobo, thank you so much for making time to join us, sir.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Professor Tshepo Madlingozi is Commissioner of the South African Human Rights Commission.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.